it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And this Saturday morning, we're going to be having a straight talk. A straight talk on the media in Jamaica. Is it state control or is it government influence? Investigative journalism is almost non-existent in Jamaica. Why so, ladies and gentlemen? How did we get to this point? Anthony Turner, our communication specialist, has arrived. He speaks true to power. Introduce our guest, Anthony.
Well, as you said, Rascal, we're a special guest on Mic Check this morning. He is a radio broadcaster, Conrad Robert O'Brien. He's host of Straight Up with co-hosts Kenrick Barnaby and Jermaine Barrett, heard in Jamaica on News Talk 93 FM. And Conrad is also a former radio host of the program State of Jamaica on Hot 102 FM. And outside of broadcasting, Conrad is a trained financial advisor and a communication specialist, and he prides himself on speaking truth to power. So we welcome Mr. O'Brien to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Mr. Straight Talk. How you doing, Conrad?
Hey, how you doing, my brother, Ross Clem?
All is well.
First of all, go ahead.
All is well.
Good. Let me first of all greet my people in the entire diaspora, and indeed, specifically in the New York area. As a matter of fact, I was getting a few messages just now, persons asking if I would be in studio. So I'm saying to them, no, I won't be in studio, but I'll be on the line. As a matter of fact, one person reached out to me, Ross Clem, and basically told me I have even a family connection with you. So the diaspora, and especially New York City, they are glued in. And of course, here in Jamaica, my listeners, and that is included, that's now our listeners, they are glued in because they had basically logged onto the various channels that they can listen to this morning.
Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning. The fact that you've sent a little shout out to your listeners, a Connecticut listener just joined us. Good morning, Penny. Welcome to Groovin' Radio. Thank you for sharing the experience right here. Well, this experience is going to be another special one, Conrad, because this one we're taking a look at the media in Jamaica. And many of us, including myself, wants to know, is the media in Jamaica state control or is it just government influence? And that is where we're going to start, Conrad.
Good. You know, Ross Clem, it's interesting that you ask that question. Very, very interesting and important question you put forward here this morning about the media in Jamaica. And indeed, it is one that continues to be on the mind of many Jamaicans. As a matter of fact, I, as a practitioner, I have to be struggling on a daily basis because people will come on my program and while not speaking to me directly, but will use the adjective to say that all media, the media is basically non-existent as it relates to investigative journalism and just really and truly doing the work. So people are wondering, if the media is indeed skewed, is it owned, is it government owned, or is it that people who affiliate to the present JLP administration that form the government of Jamaica, if the media is basically purchased by them? As a matter of fact, some people dare to refer to various media houses in Jamaica as the purchased media. I am not going to take that road because I have to be careful how I speak. What I will say is that investigative journalism in Jamaica seems to be, you know, lacking, and we are not getting persons really going out there asking the tough question. As a matter of fact, the thing is so skewed that at times a matter raised, and when persons are doing interviews, mm-hmm. you wonder if it's the opposition that is under the microscope rather than the government of Jamaica.
Mm.
Therefore, I can understand exactly where your headspace is, because indeed, while you're not on the rock on a day-to-day basis, but you follow mm-hmm. what is taking place in Jamaica, and I believe, hence, that's what would basically, you know, inform your thought process in terms of having this discussion this morning.
Indeed, Conrad, you know, we pay very close attention to the media in Jamaica. And the mm-hmm. the reason why we're at this point is something that you just said. When persons are doing interviews, sometimes you're wondering if it is the opposition that is under the microscope. Because here it is, Conrad. When we look at how stories are covered in Jamaica, and when we look at how the media tend to put spins on stories in Jamaica, and yes, we don't want to call out any particular media houses, but at the end of the day, when you look at our who control most of the outlets in Jamaica, it seems to fall under one umbrella. Now, we look at places like Russia, we look at places like Cuba, we look at places like North Korea, and we say, okay, those people have fully state-controlled media. Whatever the state wants to put out, that is what media houses has to put out. For instance, we look at the war now happening in the Ukraine. And Anthony, many Russians on the ground in Russia did not even know that there was a war going on between Russia and the Ukraine. That is because the way the media is controlled. But then when you and then we question that. But then when we look at the media in Jamaica and we see these stories popping up, stories after story popping up, we see where ministers have been investigated, ministers like Ruel Reid was arrested, but then the story just die. The story disappear. No, here is the Here's the influence part of it now. Did the government, and this is a question people are asking, did the government influence the media to kill a story like that? And that is why we're at this point, Conrad. We're asking the question, is it or isn't it government influence or state control? That's why we're here, Anthony, right?
Absolutely. And what I want to say, because we had an interesting discussion, Rasklim, yesterday. And I mean, I know we're kind of focused on some of the mainstream politics, but it's an issue that even rears its ugly head in the way entertainment stories are covered. And I use, for example, the Bujo Banton case, where when that case was going on, we saw daily, you know, the information about what transpired in the courtroom. But there was no investigator who was going beyond the headlines to say, why did this happen? Who are some of the players? So it is something that is of concern. And the question I want to ask you, Conrad, is it the power brokers who control these media entities who are manipulating the system? Because I know that there are real journalists in Jamaica who can do the investigative stories that are required. But are they being manipulated by the power brokers who are taking monies or have connections that are causing us not to see the type of stories that we want to see, the investigative stories?
You know, Ross Clement, Anthony, what happened, and I must greet you. I greet you well, Anthony. You know, the truth is that we're in a Jamaica space, and the Jamaica space is a political space, as it were. And what you find is that the fourth estate that's normally pride itself as the bastion in order to, you know, keep a state from the difference between a state getting into anarchy or anything goes. The media always basically stand up and hold the powers that be accountable. However, as you rightly said, the question is now being asked. Who is influencing persons within the media space? I am not going to say that people are collecting, But people are deducing whatever they wish. For example, there are media houses in Jamaica that even the advertising dollar that is coming out of the government's coffers is heavily skewed to one station or the other. You understand? And the absolutely, that's a fact. Within recent times, we have seen where even advertising coming from unfamiliar sources, such as the Time by the Office of the Prime Minister, is so and so. And that basically started out in particular in one media house. People cry out, and you get it spread a little now with to include a few other media houses. But the question continues to be asked, who controls the media? And while we don't have state-controlled media in Jamaica, but the media is influenced in a massive way by powerful private sector people and power brokers who, let's call it a spade, let's call a spade a spade. As I said, I pride myself in speaking straight and speak truth to power. The truth is that invariably, most of these people are connected and heavily supporter of the present administration, the Jamaica Labour Party that formed the government of Jamaica. And as a result of that, we are not seeing where the media continue to dig and probe the story. Recently, we saw, and I'm going to put this out there, recently we saw where a major corruption was unfolded with the Nutrition Holding Products Limited. That is the outfit that look after what we traditionally call the Nutribon and the Bulla and the milk and so on for school children.
Indeed.
And there was major corruption there. It was ventilated to some extent, but it dies a natural death. We heard recently the DPP said that, you know, cases that are high profile, they put enormous resources behind those cases for them to come to the fore quickly. She was referring to that quadruple murder that took place in Top Clarendon with the young man there that was sentenced recently.
Indeed.
However, the case with Royal Reed et al., that case has been languishing for some time. And I don't know if there can be a higher profile case than a case where a minister of government, a senior minister of government, the minister of education, that is the ministry that is basically, you know, nurturing or should be nurturing the minds of our youngster who will form the fabric of our society. That is not being treated with urgency. And I could go on and on to mention a number of situations that certainly here in Jamaica, at the beginning of this year, the present Deputy Commissioner of Police, Mr. Fitzbailey, said there are quite a few cold cases in Jamaica, and they were going to be looking at some of them. We are now at the ending, almost at the end of November, and to date, none of those cases that were cold, that were serious cases, we have seen none of them come to the fore. And the media have not asked the question. I may be one of the few persons on mainstream radio in Jamaica that dare to buck the status quo.
Wow. Wow. Speaking true to power, ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this Saturday morning, he is a trained financial advisor and a communication specialist. As I said before, he prides himself in speaking true to power. His name is Mr. Conrad O'Brien of Straight Up on News Talk 93 FM in Jamaica. We're taking a look at the media houses in Jamaica. Who controls these media houses? How much influence does the state have? How much influence the government of Jamaica have over these media? When advertising dollars can be steered can be steered to particular media houses, it is a problem, Conrad. Now, here it is, Anthony. Conrad just brought up the DPP, Paula Lolin and her team. I can tell you, I had a conversation with the man who leads the Integrity Commission, Mr. Christie. And I asked Mr. Christie to join us to talk about some of the high-profile cases that he has worked on. And he has found evidence that these situations need to be taken to court. He replied to me that, yes, we do the investigation, we do the digging, and we turn the pages. But we're not at any privilege at all to come and discuss these. And I said, hold on. So we're investigating Donald Trump here. And we find out that Donald Trump taxes is wrong. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, Mr. Trump, you have to show your taxes. But we're talking about it. So why aren't we talking about the $400 million that they're talking about that has been missing over at the Ministry of Health? Why aren't we talking about the plane that crash landed off the coast of Jamaica, and the Minister of National Security, Mr. Aureus Chang, said that one thing he's sure of is that the occupants of the plane has gone. Nobody's asking about where is the black box. Why are the media houses so silent, Mr. O'Brien? Why?
Absolutely. And the sad state of affairs is that you have entity in Jamaica that have a large cadre of workers that are supposed to be, have reporters all over the place who are supposed to be digging into these stories. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we are not getting this investigated capacity coming through from the media houses. Mm-hmm. For example, I'll share another very important story that, in my humble opinion, the Gleaner Company of Jamaica recently merged with RJR and now form the RJR Gleaner Communication Group. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, they acquire the Gleaner, they also acquire Power 106 and Music 99. Mm-hmm. Those were two outfits that was owned by the Gleaner owned Power 106 and Music 99. Mm-hmm. Now, based on the merger, RJR now owns Power. The merger allow RJR to own Power 106 and Music 99. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they said that it was too much for RJR, so they offload Music 99 FM. Mm-hmm. All right, it's now called Bridge. Mm-hmm. However, they own Power 106, which was a major radio arm of the Gleaner Group. Mm-hmm. What used to happen when Power 106 was owned by the Gleaner? They would have their own news team. So you would get some semblance of differences in the news. Mm-hmm. Now, RJR owns Power 106, Fame, Music, Hits 92 FM, TVJ, and other entities, including the Gleaner and the Star. Wow. The news essentially spread across these entities. So they're not operating like as independent media houses. Mm-hmm. Media houses. That they can go out there now, and so you would have RJR 94 FM would broadcast this news. Then TVJ will be doing something different. Or Power 106 will be doing something different. No, as a matter of fact, a Power 106 and RJR, their newscasts are simulcast in the main.
Wow.
So you're getting it verbatim. So there is no latitude there for a clever reporter.
Wow.
Or a clever news editor over by Power 106 to say, listen, we are competing with 94 FM. So we dare to go out there and find the story.
Wow.
And that, in my humble opinion, is very, very problematic. I think for one entity to own such a large chunk of a media, of the media space in a small country as Jamaica, with a population on the rock of about 2.7, some people say 3, but I say 2.7. That's more closer to the official numbers that we have. As we speak, we have a census that is now being carried out. So we'll be in short order, we'll have a proper head count, because we have been working with this 2.5 for some time now.
Indeed.
But to get back to the CLM point, these are some of the things that are dogging us here in Jamaica. Oh. I'll quickly move to something.
Hold on. Before you move to anything else, to Conrad.
Big bummy drop.
Yes, man. All your thought, because we're going to take a break real soon. Just all your thought on that one. Let us digest what you just said, because, Anthony, it seems as if over on the Gleaner side and all what they control, they've manipulated the system, where they seem to control a good chunk of media in Jamaica, like about 70-80% of the media. And when everything is simulcast on all the stations that they own, nothing changes. And then you don't have anyone who is independent within these organizations, because now you're getting money from the sources who you have to report on. You have to be mindful now. Comes back now, Anthony Turner. Comes back now, Conrad O'Brien. Here is the influence. Here is the evidence of the influence. Because I'm giving you X amount of money. I've given you X amount of control over the television, over the radio, and over the newspapers on the island. You have to be my friend. Anthony, that smells fishy. Anthony?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm sure they must have had some sort of checks and balances before the merger was approved. I mean, maybe Conrad could speak to that.
Checks and balance?
I want to check.
Checks and balance?
Well, you know, I mentioned the RGR Communication Group, but the thing gets even worse. Because you have a much smaller media house in Jamaica. Much, much, much smaller media house in Jamaica. And if you are to, you can bet your bottom dollar that if there's any outside broadcast, any major coverage, a ministry is going to go out there and have a series of town hall and so on. You can bet your bottom dollar that one media house is going to be present there. And I'm talking about the nationwide outfit.
Wow.
So it is wild, and I'm not saying that people must not have presence, but there is, for example, my program is starved of government in advertisement, and it's probably because I am sure that people cannot talk about the credibility and the veracity of information that I put out there, because if the PNP is slipping and forming itself a fool, I am going to call them out.
Indeed.
If the Jamaica Labour Party and its operatives are falling down, I will be calling them. However, one must also understand that the government of the day, if you are doing true work as a practitioner in the media, whether as a talk show host, an investigative journalist, or whatever, the government of the day is going to be in the spotlight.
Conrad,
if you are doing proper work, I'm talking about.
Conrad, all your thoughts there. The computers are going to take over in 20 seconds. And when we come back, we want to talk about transparency and accountability. And I probably need to get my attorney, Mr. Wilfred Ratigan, on the case in Jamaica. But stay where you are, Conrad. Let's dive just this for a moment. We come back in 3 minutes. Stay where you are.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
It's all about Groovin' Radio, number one station, Alvaro's listening. Fire can cool, this year fire can tame. Yo, freedom on fire. Oh.
And thank you so much, Mr. Alba Rosie, for bringing us up for the final 25 minutes of the Groovin' Radio Experience presentation this Saturday morning. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, ladies and gentlemen, and talking about speaking true to power. Our very special guest this morning, that's exactly what he do, Mr. Conrad O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. He is a communication specialist. He's also a radio host, and we're looking at the media in Jamaica on all levels. And why is there no investigative journalism? It's almost non-existent in Jamaica. Welcome back, Conrad.
Good. I just want to thanks for welcoming me back. But I want to say, my brother Anthony and Rod Clem, let me just say that I have no evidence that there is any form of skullduggery or anything that's taking place as it relates to who get the advertising dollar in Jamaica. It may very well be that these outfits just have excellent marketing department and so on, and really people just do it. No, it may very well be that, that persons just have an excellent marketing team and so on, and they're really out there hitting the pavement, so they're getting in the bacon. So I want to put that out there clearly.
I'm happy that you put that out there, you know, because I can, even though I don't have any evidence, I have people who can find the evidence, and one of those sources just sent me a message, and he is one of my attorney, Mr. Wilfred Ratigan. I also have attorney at law Stephen Drummond from Drummond and Scalacci, who can also get the evidence. So we don't have to worry about it, you know. We don't have the evidence in front of us, but if we need to get the evidence, remember, Mr. Ratigan spent 32 years in the FBI. He was one of only two FBI special agents who was on the peninsula in the Saudi Arabia area when 9/11 happened, leading a team of only two people. Think about what he covered, okay? So we need to get some full disclosure, Conrad.
We'll put it on record.
Yes, man.
Just in case.
Come
gunning us, we will basically have to employ.
Yes, man. Just in case. These thought-provoking conversation gets people thinking. Transparency. When we look at how we're talking about in Jamaica, issues always happen, and there's a thing that says, Anthony, welcome back also, there's a 9-day wonder thing. And when we look at the 9-day wonder thing, the story stays in the media hot for 7 to 9 days, and then it die. No accountability, no transparency. Why so, Conrad? Why?
No, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. And, you know, I'm going to go into deep water here. Recently, the young man that was fingered in the murder of former member of parliament, or late member of parliament, Dr. Linford Bloomfield, over in Portland, he attended upon the precincts of the court in Jamaica, to answer to a murder charge. We heard that he disappeared after he was taken there by his parents. However, that's the sum total of the story that we got. Nobody is probing, or certainly we have not heard of any probing taking place as to where this young man could possibly be or anything. It was just report, and it's out of the loop. Fast forward now to a situation in downtown Kingston during the heat of the COVID-19 scenario. And a young man went out there and used certain word to describe the prime minister. And of course, we are not happy with person using derogatory term to describe our prime minister. He's the head of, the executive here in Jamaica, and we share, we have respect for the most honorable Anjum Michael Brogan Holness. We have great regard for him. However, no less a person than a senior superintendent in the form of Stephen McGregor went downtown Kingston under that young man dead and retrieve him and bring him to and get, bring him to justice, as it were. He was arrested. However, we have situation here in Jamaica, and I'm going all over the place because I want to get some of these things in. We have a situation in Jamaica where a noted attorney at law, it is said that he is the prime minister's attorney, Mr. Bailey. While no one making any assertion that Mr. Bailey is guilty, yes or no, far from it. That is proven, and that should be proven and tested in a court of law. That's how we operate here in Jamaica. However, somebody was found dead in his house. Seems to be a murder take place there. However, the gentleman died. Mr. Bailey, we understand that there was no forced entry into the house. To date, the occupant of the house at the time was not taken in or even cited even as a person of interest. So that is what we're seeing here. And hence, a number of us who are thinking people, we could never continue to support a state of emergency that the Court of Jamaica has ruled on twice and say that it is unconstitutional. Because what we see is easy pickings for a majority of our young black youth for you to scrape them up and throw them in the trunk. And the people who are advocating for the state of the emergency, their children, their spouses, their connection would never ever be caught in the thread. Therefore, a number of us support the opposition PNP carrying out its constitutional duty, not its political partisan duty, but its constitutional duty to stay true to the oath that they took at the beginning of their tenure when they were going into whether the upper or the lower house of Jamaica.
Now, you know, Conrad, at that meeting yesterday with the Senate, when the People's National Party, the opposition, walked out of that without a vote, you know, think about this. And if you're in any country, the military, when you bring your military out on your people, it is said that you're declaring war, you know. You're declaring war on your people. So when we look at how the Jamaica Defense Force has been used in Jamaica and how they continue to use them against the civilian, the regular citizens of the country, something is wrong with this. We can no longer go on with having these states of emergency over and over. And when you look at the number, you know, I just want to give some number here. And I don't want to go too far off because we're almost out of time. But I just want to give some numbers here. And I think this is why the PNP is now saying that we no longer support this. In 2018, the murder rate in 2018 reported 1,287. In 2019, 1,339. In 2020, 1,322. In 2021, 1,463. Look how many state of emergency you had during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the numbers keep going up. And so far this year, in 2022, we're over 1,300 reported murders again. Not to mention Anthony Turner, the over 600 people that have been reported missing in Jamaica. We're not just 1,300 plus is dead, you know, reported, murdered, and over 600 has been missing. So we have a problem. And one more thing, Anthony.
And the police.
Yes.
The police. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead. The police?
No, the police in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
This is not coming from you and I. The police said that the numbers that you that they report, mm-hmm. it is safe for you to add about another 20% on it.
Indeed. Indeed.
Another 20% on it. You know, so it begs the question as to where we're going. And it is also important, Rasklem,
mm-hmm.
that since you mentioned those figures,
mm-hmm.
to show that we're not using the resources that we have in an under Peter Murcutt Bunting, the former Minister of National Security, and this has nothing to do with politics, this has to do with just hard, cold, raw facts. Every single year under Portia Simpson Miller's tenure, with Bunting, this is Portia Simpson Miller's tenure, the most honorable, with Bunting as her Minister of National Security, every year the murder number was much lower. Than what you cited here under the Jamaica Labour Party. That is to say that the highest number that took place under that 4 years of Bunting and Simpson's Miller administration, it was lower. It was lower.
Right.
than when you look at the lowest number under the JLP last 7 years. Now on the Chang and Manticue. We also want to throw in the mix that the $200 million that was extended to purchase police vehicle so that we could have a cessation on the crime, because you would have more police in your police unit to do their job in community. To date, that is outstanding. That's another part of the investigative journalism, as we start earlier, is lacking. Yeah, no one seems to be asking these questions.
You know, there's hold on, Anthony, and we're going to wrap in a moment. I'm going to give you the last question. There's a young lady in Jamaica by the name of Zara Burton. She's one of the investigative journalists in Jamaica. But when she raised the points, not too many people really defends her. I can show you how social media work. And Anthony, we have touched a nerve this morning. Just got a message that says that deceased found in attorney's Bailey's home. Listen to this on social media, Rasklem. That deceased found in attorney Bailey's home is one of I and I's sister's husband. Wow. Wow. This is powerful. Now, Conrad, one more thing.
Yeah.
And this question came in. How is it we have members of parliament who are supposed to be writing and upholding the laws in Jamaica? They are attorneys. They have law firms that are defending criminals. That is a question that someone is asking. No names given. But they're saying that they're members of the government in Jamaica who are attorneys and have law firm. So when we talk about full transparency, accountability, isn't something wrong with this, Conrad?
All right. First of all, our system basically says that if someone was into a profession or whatever, I think you once you declare, then you will be able to practice. In terms of defending criminal, we have to there's a thin line, because remember we operate under the tenets that everybody is innocent until proven guilty, and certainly coming from the attorneys, they will say to you that everybody deserves legal representation. However, I understand where you're coming from, because indeed it seems a little bit untidy for you to have a person who sits, whether in the lower or the upper house, that is to say the House of Representatives, the Senate, who or practicing attorney that are representing people who the masses is saying that these persons seems to be of unsavory character. It begs the question, and in my humble opinion, it don't look good on the face of it. But in terms of how we operate under the legal tenets and so on, I'm not in a position to say that this is wrong or it is right or it is not something that our... it couldn't happen if the Constitution of Jamaica did not permit it to. But probably it is something that the powers that be need to look at.
Don't raise that word here, Constitution, because we don't have one. The one that we have came out of Buckingham Palace. Anthony, you have the final question.
At the very top of the thing, Rasklim, you state that there's no state-controlled media in Jamaica. And I think most would agree with that. What I want you to answer for me, Conrad, as a man in media and in Jamaica, can you tell us about the role of an organization like the GIS, which covers and put out press releases and did the stuff for TV, and they're aligned with the government, and it really has nothing to do with this particular government in power, because the GIS has been in existence for many, many years. But tell us about the role of the GIS and how they influence the news that comes out.
Indeed. We as you rightly said, that it's Trad administration. We remember back in the days that it's called API, Agency for Public Information. So the GIS essentially, and I'm going fast because of time, the GIS essentially is the government mouthpiece. It's what basically used to put out whatever the government is doing. So, for example, if the government doing a highway, and the government want to put that out there, then they use the Jamaica Information Service to put that, to say the Prime Minister opened this road, the Prime Minister was out in St. Thomas opening the Goodyear factory or groundbreaking development at the former Goodyear factory and so on. So that's essentially what GIS does. Nothing apart from that. It's just the government mouthpiece, it's push the government information. So it's really, in that case now, that is the government control media. That is the government control media.
Okay, now we can say that is the state.
Put it this way, distinction, the government owned the media, because the government could control other media house without owning it by way of their spend, etc., etc., etc.
This is a very interesting way. This is a very interesting way to end this conversation, you know, because here it is now. Throughout all of this, we are saying, okay, so we don't have state-controlled media in Jamaica. We don't. And we made it clear. But it now comes back now to say GIS is owned by the government. So that is state-controlled media. And then a large percentage of the remaining media is influenced by the government. So how are we going to get full transparency? How are we going to get full accountability? How? That is why we keep finding ourselves digging deeper and deeper into a hole. Because we're not getting what we need to get from the media houses. Because they're influenced. And they're controlled. Majority then, or a great percentage of it, is influence and is control. Conrad O'Brien, speaking truth to power here on Grooving Radio. It is your first appearance, my brother, but it's not going to be your last, you know. It is your first appearance, but it's not going to be your last. And folks, if you want to catch Conrad O'Brien, he's the host of Straight Up on News Talk 93 FM in Jamaica. Tell them when you're on, Conrad.
Indeed, I am on Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 until 12 midday. And we dub ourselves as the mid-morning number one. Current affairs program. We speak truth to power. We take calls. We ventilate any issue. We allow every and anyone to appear on the program by way of being a caller. So it doesn't matter what color, what race, what your political affiliation, you are welcome and board. And we indeed broadcast from the campus of the University of the West Indies, UWI Mona, in the parish of St. Andrew. So join me at Monday.
Indeed.
9 a.m. And stay with me until 12. You won't miss it. I promise you will enjoy.
Conrad, I want to thank you so much. But the fact that you're also a trained financial advisor, I found out this week, I'm not going to tell the listeners how I found out this week, that you are a very good friend of a family friend of mine, Mr. Ralston Iman, who I know from when I was a little boy, and Ralston is one of those noted financial experts in Jamaica. I understand that
he's the guru.
You know, we used to call him Raleigh Dread. Those days when we played soccer at Real Mona, when I played minor league at Real Mona, Ralston Iman was playing major league. So it just got to show you, I am a little boy to Ralston, but if you look at Raleigh these days, him still look like him no more than 50 years old, huh?
No, that is true, and he's still kicking the ball hard. He's still running down the flank, I guess.
indeed, Mr. Conrado.
You know, Rascal, I want to just say one quick thing before I go.
Real quick.
last week, it emerged that a number of our secondary school, the students that are on the PATH program, that is the government feeding program, this was created by PJ Patterson administration, that a number of our schools have to cancel or to stop the offering the lunch to the student because the money for the PATH program that's just not coming over from the government to them. So it is something that is creating a bit of wave right here in Jamaica from the president of the Secondary School Association, Mr. Linverne Wright, and all the principals that have major concern now. Point to note is that they were being offered $150 per lunch from about 6 years ago, and it has not changed. And we know what the inflation has been over the last so many years.
Wow. Conrad O'Brien, thank you so much. I'm going to call you later. We have to do some more work together. And I got to say good morning. Just got a note from my attorney, Mr. Rattigan. Good morning, Wilfred Rattigan. Thank you so much for making all the links, my brother. I will speak to both of you gentlemen later on today. Until later, Conrad.
Remember, Wilfred has an awesome program.
Yes.
And Tuesday evening. Well,
yeah? Man. Give thanks, Conrad. We'll talk later. Thanks much.
All right. Blessings.
One love. Anthony, we are out of time, but wow. Some things uncovered this morning, Anthony. We'll talk about it later. Thanks for your contribution.
All right, you take
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, up next is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Colby and the team rolls in. The Jam comes in at 1 o'clock, Link Up at 6, and Soundchat Radio at 8 p.m. Thanks to each and every one who made this presentation possible this morning. Our musical presentation, we presented the music of the beautiful and talented Elaine. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Mr. Neville Graham. We were joined by OID Eleanor Edwards. Anthony Turner gave us ER report, and we were just joined by on mic check by the one and only Mr. Conrad O'Brien, speaking true to power. Stay tuned for the Wake Up Radio team. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m.